This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Every time you look at something online, you're confronted with a barrage of advertisements. Dancing cartoons on the side of the page. Pop ads that obscure your view and follow your eye as you scroll down. Autoplay videos that are nearly impossible to close without getting tricked into visiting a vendor's website. They are annoying, and in the past few years, they've become increasingly aggressive. And as ads have increased, so has the desire to be free of them. More and more programmers and developers are making software that helps consumers block those ads. Now, we thought it was time for a primer on ad blockers and find out what their proliferation means for the internet as we know it. Rob Fleischman is with us. He's principal engineer at Akamai and our chief explainer of all things Wired. Oh, Rob, thank goodness you're here.
Great to be here, Virginia.
We need to know what's going on here. I mean, the name says it all, but what exactly do ad blockers do once they're installed?
Well, right. I mean, ad blockers remove or alter ads, right? So what are these ads? You know, like you said there, pop-ups, pop-behinds, autoplay, video, graphics, audio. They're kind of annoying, right? And they sometimes come as Flash or other types of media that show up in your browser. Mm-hmm. And we have to remember what the point here is, right? I mean, the point here of these ads is to make money, right? And you know, it's sort of this catch-22 situation, right? We want the web to be open, and we don't want to pay a lot for content, and we want a lot of stuff to be free. But, you know, nothing really is free, right? It has to be supported by something. And those ads really pay the bills to allow us to get a lot of that content. What's happened, of course, is that the ads have gotten worse and worse, right? Everybody's seen the ones that block the content and
scroll with you. Ugh, drives you crazy. You try and move it and you can't.
Right. I mean, the developers like me are spending a lot of time to make them annoying. So you must look at them, right? And that, of course, has made ad blockers proliferate. I mean, AdBlock and AdBlock Plus, which are the top two plugins, you know, have over 40 million users. So that sounds like a lot, but it's really a small amount. I mean, it's still single-digit percentages of people that use web browsers. And the other thing that's happened here with ads is some of them aren't so friendly, right? Some of them are capturing your browsing techniques. There's been malware inside of ads. It overlaps sort of with content control. You know, what kind of ads do you want your kids to be able to see, right? Some of these ads may not be kid or family friendly.
Okay, so the ad blockers that are being developed to get rid of those are also ad trackers. Now, what's that? I'm not sure of that terminology.
Okay, well, you have to think about the way these things work, right? When you download a web page, there's, of course, a bunch of things embedded in the web page, right? There might be your content, but, you know, when you download the New York Times web page, it has all these pointers kind of off to different ads and graphics all over the internet. So what happens is when the web browser goes to retrieve those, the ad blocker gets in the way and looks at them and says, this appears to be coming from a domain that I know is an ad server, like DoubleClick. That's a big domain that Google runs that serves ads. So it might say, hey, this is going to DoubleClick. I'm going to stop that. I'm going to fill that in with just maybe a blank square rather than display the ad. Or the ad blocker looks at it and says, hey, this is going to a network, a part of the internet I know is where ad servers live. Or finally, it looks at the content type, meaning, oh, this is a Flash video or an autoplay audio. So I'm going to stop that from happening. So that's the way those things work. And because they see the stream, right, and they see the destination, they get a little bit more information about you, right? And also, every one of these ads, when the retrieval happens, they send with it information about you. So when you go off to the ad server, and when you're on the New York Times website and you pull up an article, the ads that come with it might have an ID in there that identifies the article or the type of content in the article. Or maybe that it's Virginia Prescott and she has certain interests. She's a radio host, so she might be interested in certain things that radio hosts might be interested in. And that information gets forwarded off to the ad site and the ad can be customized for you.
Well, they've been around for a long time, but now, just recently, big news from Apple that the latest edition of their operating system is going to offer built-in support for ad blocking. Now, this is people are just going crazy about this. This is the end of the internet, I'm seeing in some places. Is it indeed? And why would Apple, a company that's built its life around the internet, do this?
Okay, well, there's a lot of confusion here, so let me make it really clear to everybody. First of all, when it comes to blocking ads or filtering content, there's a lot of stuff that actually is built into your web browser already, right? So if you fire up IE or Chrome or any of those guys, you'll see that most of them have things like pop-up blockers built in, right? You don't need to download anything. You can just go to the preferences and say, do I want to show pop-ups or not? You know, those kind of things. So there's a lot of blocking in there. Also, if you remember, there's something else in there called cookies, right?
Right.
And every one of those web browsers has the ability to limit cookies. And if folks remember, cookies are these little things that get sent out that talk about your history and remember who you are and help websites.
And so when you're filling out a form that says your name, address, it will autofill that
exactly,
because of a cookie.
Because of the cookies, right. So browsers already, out of the box, have some of that stuff. So ad blocking, all these additional plugins, like I said, things like AdBlock and AdBlock Plus have been around in web browsers for many years on the desktop. This announcement is that Apple has allowed iOS 9, which is the operating system for the iPhone, to allow Safari, which is the web browser on your phone, to have ad blocking. So the interesting news is this is the first time that a mobile web browser can have ad blocking software. Up to this point, all this ad blocking has been for the desktop. So this announcement is a big deal because it's the first time that any vendor has said, hey, you can add ad blocking software to your mobile browser. Now, that's big because mobile has been, of course, this huge new platform where there's been a tremendous amount of revenue. You know, I don't have to go into how every company like Facebook and Google and everybody is saying, hey, all the money's in mobile, right? And of course, where's the money? It's from the ads. So here's this first time a vendor has said, we're going to let you put a plugin into your mobile browser that cuts off that advertising money. So it's a big deal.
Okay, so how does it serve Apple?
The big loser here, as I said before, people like Google.
So this is a strike against Google.
Well, there's another thing that people forget about, and that is that this is just a plug-in for Safari, for your mobile web browser. Remember that everybody on the iPhone uses apps, right? And those apps are not a web browser. Those apps also display ads. I mean, we've all played games and used apps on our phone, and we see ads in the app, right? Those are called iAds. They're Apple iAds. And those will not be subjected to this.
Those crafty ads.
Exactly. So if you think about it, you know, Apple doesn't really get a lot of money from those online web-based ads, right? So an ad blocker plugin for mobile Safari, you know, there's not a tremendous amount of downside for Apple, especially when those iAds, which are only purchased through Apple, only available in all the apps on the iPhone, will not be subjected to this.
Okay.
So now you kind of get it, right?
I do. You know, they've always got a strategy. But how about content providers who are saying this is the end of the internet? They've been very vocal, saying in some cases that the use of ad blockers is akin to stealing. How do you see it?
Well, you know, I think there's some evidence, and I think everybody has a piece of the truth on this one. Clearly, when you're a site like New York Times that's providing content, you know, for low cost or free, and of course they do have a subscription version where you can pay, but for folks that provide content for free, you know, those ads are what pays the bills. So I get that. I get that.
And it's not just the New York Times. It's people who have blogs. It's people who, you know, say, like, I make my money on the internet using ads.
Absolutely. You know, it's really cuts them right across the throat, you know, really tough to justify, you know, allowing ad blockers and really stealing from these people. I mean, I get that. I think they're right. I think they have a point there. On the other hand, you know, we can play the net neutrality argument. And that says that, you know, you control your computer, you control your equipment, you can do and run whatever you want to run, you know, and who am I to say what Virginia can put on her PC? I think that perhaps as we go forward, I think that we're going to start seeing the blend of ads. Like, for example, you know, you're watching a movie or a video and all of a sudden it's like a TV commercial, right?
Right.
Your video is interrupted.
Ads.
Exactly. The ads are going to be inside the content itself. You know, I mean, we're seeing product placement. You know, you're watching some sitcom and all of a sudden there's a Coca-Cola container on the counter, you know. So I think we're going to see more and more of that. You know, will ad blockers explode on mobile? I don't know. You know, they haven't exploded on the desktop.
Do you use ad blockers?
I actually don't. I don't. But, you know, I browse mostly the NPR website, which doesn't have ads, so I'm all good, you know?
Well, Rob, you're in the right place. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Virginia. Thanks for having me.
Rob Fleischman, he's principal engineer at Akamai and our chief explainer of all things Wired. Now, we do have links to some of the recent articles on the pros and cons of ad blockers at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.